Well, we are currently in a series right now. It's called Be the Difference, and it's talking about rising to the challenge. How many of you know that God has placed a challenge in front of us to be the difference in our world? Somebody say amen. More than one person say amen. Say amen. Yeah, listen, guys, you need to understand that your life has a purpose. And that purpose was not to sit on your blessed assurance and do nothing. Come on. That purpose was to be engaged. Amen? That God has a desire and a plan for you to be able to move forward and to be the difference into the areas that He's called you to live and to move and to be. See, what we have done is we have turned, and please hear me, I'm gonna get to the message in just a moment, and I'm not stepping on toes, but let's just call things what they really are. Amen? Sometimes we treat church like a obligation that we go and do, our Christian walk. It's something that where we can just be blessed. And the moment where I don't feel blessed anymore is the moment where I begin to start looking for something else that will bless me. Come on. How many of you know that is a me-centered theology and not a Christ-centered theology? Right? Because there comes a time where we have to move beyond the blessing that I'm getting, and we have to start being a blessing to the world around us. You okay with this? See, you know, one of the things that bugs me as a pastor when I hear somebody say, you know, I just didn't get blessed by worship today. I just didn't get blessed by the word today or get blessed by service today. You instantly reveal to me what you're about. Oh, no, don't give me those eyes. What you've just told me is, I'm in this for me. You okay? But I don't believe that that's what God's intention for us is. What I believe God is saying is, we has called us together as a people. Yes, that we may be blessed, but more importantly, that we may be a blessing to our community. Amen? That we may be the difference where we live. You know, and so I want to talk a little bit about being the difference in our communities today. Amen? How many of you know community is more than just your neighborhood? All right? Community is your church family. Community is your work family. Community is your marketplace. It's where you shop. It's where you live. It's everywhere you are and hold and that you hold relationship in. That is considered community. Amen? How many of you know you have community at the gym? We have community at workspaces. Community at school, we have community at church, we have community all over the place, right? And that place where we are in relationship, where we have relationship with other people, anywhere we go where we hold relationship, we have to be understanding that we have to be a difference where we are. Anywhere we live, anywhere we go, that is one of the purposes of the transformative power of the Holy Spirit in our life is to be the difference in the communities that He's placed us in. It's not just so we can have all the answers, so that we can look put together, and so that we can be blessed. Now, God blesses us. Somebody say amen. But He blesses you for the purpose of being a blessing. It doesn't just stop with you. See, too often, we think that we're being successful as long as we're blessed. How many of you know you could still be being successful in the plan of God and not feel very blessed in the moment? You don't believe me? Ask Paul. How blessed did Paul feel sitting in prison? Yet that very same prison, they began to praise and to sing. Come on. And all of a sudden, they became a blessing. When the power of God shook the prison cells open and the chains fell down and the jailer got set free. Come on. Something changed. See, sometimes we just think, as long as I'm happy and I feel good, everything's okay. But sometimes God is calling us to get a little uncomfortable and to be a blessing where we are, whether we get blessed or not. You guys okay with this? Guys, this is about this little thing called maturity. Maturity. How many of you know we can't stay in first grade forever? Right? We can't just keep repeating the first grade. At some point, we've got to grow a little, don't we? We've got to develop. And I believe that God is calling us, this church body, to be a church filled of people who are growing and developing for the purpose of bringing those in that can grow and develop with us. Amen? Okay. Let's look at I got a few different texts this morning. One I want to share with you first and foremost, though, is Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. I just want to look at this real quick. It says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit," say different spirit, "and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it." If you understand this story, Caleb was one of the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, that Moses sent to scout out the land in the promised land after they had left Egypt. If you remember the story, and maybe you do, maybe you don't, that's okay. If you remember the story, what happened is this. God said, "I have a land for the children of Israel, the Hebrews, to possess." And once they got to the edge and to the border of that land, they were standing at the borders, and they sent out 12 spies. And of those 12 spies, only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back and said, "We can do this." The rest of them said, "There's too many giants. There's too many strongholds. We are like grasshoppers to them. We're not going to make a difference. We're going to be defeated." But the two of them, Joshua and Caleb, they made a decision. No, we believe what God said. And what they're referencing here is Caleb, because he had a different spirit and followed God fully, he will be brought into the land. How many of you know sometimes in order for us to make a difference in any situation, we have to have a different spirit on us? You don't seem convinced. Sometimes you just got to be different. Right? Sometimes you have to be different in order to possess that which God has laid in front of us. We have a community. This church has a community that we serve. It's called Wise County. Right? And in order for us to take the territory and to possess the land that God has for us, it's going to require of us to be a different type of people. That we're going to have a different spirit on us. Amen? You guys okay today? See, the Spirit of the Lord is working, I believe, in our church, and He's pressing into our hearts that the time has come for us to not just be a church that sits, but a church that moves. Not a church that just wades along the river, but a church that rises to make a difference. Amen? The time has come for us to be people that know how to act. And not just sit and believe. You guys, you hear what I'm saying? At some point, we sit and we pray. How many of you know prayer is good? How many of you know waiting on God is good? But at some point, the waiting has to end. And the people have to move. And we keep waiting on God to do something. And God's looking at us and saying, "You do it. I put you there to do it. You move. I've already gone out ahead of you." Amen? And at some point, we have to go from being a people who are waiting to a people who are moving, a people who are doing, a people of direction, a people who are reaching out, a people who are active in making a difference. And I believe that we are coming into a season that the time is right for a change in us to begin to make a difference, to rise to the challenge, if you will. See, a different spirit is needed before you can make a difference. Caleb, one of the two faith-filled men who spied out the promised land, was accredited by God to have such a type of spirit of that one that makes a difference. And we need the spirit and the attitude that Caleb had to make a difference for God in the community of Wise County. Amen? So I want to say it this way. In our quest to make a difference, it's vital for us to be different before we make a difference. It has to start with us. Character in a change or in a heart change is foundational to the ability to make a difference. In other words, this character and identity go before action. Amen? You have to get your character in place. You have to understand who you are, but then there comes a time when you have to move based on it. You have to make a difference. We have to ask ourselves, are we different enough to make a difference? You say, "Pastor James, where are you going with this, man? You're using the word difference a lot and being different. What are you talking about when you talk about being different?" What I'm saying is this. In essence, we begin to act out who we are. You know, we say a lot of people who say there are a lot of different things. You want to know what a man is? Watch what he does. Not what he says. Come on. If you say you're a faith-filled man, yet you don't trust God and believe God for things, are you a faith-filled man? Come on. If you say you're a generous person, yet you don't give, you don't give of your time, you don't give of your resource, you don't give of your abilities, your talents, are you a generous person? Right? No, call a spade a spade. Call it what it is. Come on. You guys understand that this is going to be a little bit of a challenging word today. But at some point, we have to look at ourselves and say, are we really doing what we say we do? Are we really making a difference? I'm going to tell you guys, this is a conversation I have with myself, it seems like, almost daily. You ever catch yourself looking at yourself in the mirror? Am I the only person who does that? Not out of vanity, but just, you know. Just you look at yourself in the mirror, and the first thing I do when I look in the mirror is I go, Dad, how did you get there? That's the first thing I say. But then the second thing I begin to say is, am I really who I say I am? Do I really live out what I say I believe? And I would love to report to you 100% that that's true, but how many of you know that would just be a lie? Right? There's days I walk away from that mirror going, no, but I'm trying. No, but today is another day for us to give it a go. Amen? But at some point, what happens is as we begin to keep asking ourselves that question, we begin to change. You begin to be different. Is this okay? You guys all right? All right. We make a difference by being who we are and not by trying to do something different. See, we often say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to make a difference, and this is what I'm going to do. But the problem is it's not genuine with who we are yet. We have to be transformed into something different first. And then we begin to live according to that difference. And that's what makes a difference. You guys okay? You following me? You tracking with me? That's why it's so important that we have this relationship with Jesus, that we allow the Holy Spirit to work on us, that we allow our character to be shifted and changed. We can't just go out and say, I'm going to do something different. You don't make a difference by doing something different. You make a difference by being something different because you begin to live out of your being. Is this making sense to you guys? Good. All right. You're just way too quiet on me today. Jesus called us to be the difference when he called us to be his witnesses. This is not a call to witnessing. There's a big difference. See, we read that scripture where he says, and you shall be my witnesses, right? And we think that means we're just going to go out and we're going to witness to everybody and pass out tracts. Now listen, there's a time and there is a place for that. But I'm telling you something, that's not what that word means. When Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses, what he really said is he used a word in the Greek that translates as martyrs. How many of you know what a martyr does? How many of you are excited about being a martyr? What he was saying was, is you're going to go lay your life down. You're going to go put your life on the table. You're going to lay your life down, and your life will be the difference. Come on. It's not going to be about what you do. It's going to be about who you are and where you live and where I have placed you, and the living out of your being is what's going to be the difference in that situation, in that scenario. You will have to lay your life down. And you know, I think about it this way. It's almost like, I think about it when I say it that way. It's like you just have to probably not the best scenario to use in church, but you just got to put your cards on the table. Right? You put it down. This is who I am. This is what I have. This is all I know to be. And I'm telling you, if we would be a people who would be authentic to allow our lives to be the difference, we just say, God, make us who you want us to be so I can lay my life down on the table. And I can live out of that being. Live out of the reality of who I really am. Allow your Holy Spirit to shape me and mold me and make me in such a way that even my faults and failures work to your advantage. Isn't that awesome? Do you know God can use your faults and failures as much as he can use your successes? You don't believe me? What do you think a testimony is? That's what a testimony is. A testimony is saying, this is what happened in my life. I'm going to lay it on the table and let you see it. But I'm also going to tell you how God changed it. And I'm going to tell you how God set me free from it. I'm going to tell you how God delivered me from it. I'm going to tell you where I messed up, and I'm going to own it. Because I lived it. And it is the reality, and it is not pretty. But it's real, and I am saved. Amen? Let me tell you something right now. There is something far more powerful about your authenticity and your honesty than there is about your program. I fail. You fail. God doesn't. Live the reality. Come on, you guys hear what I'm saying? But see, we don't stay just in our failures. We allow God to shape us and to change us and to grow us and to make us better, where all of a sudden those tests become testimonies. They become something in my past that it no longer defines my future. How many of you know your testimony can make a difference? You guys okay today? Sorry, my notes are messing up here. You guys will bear with me, right? So what does it mean to be different? In which ways are Christians called to be different? Different from what? Different from who? We should be different from unbelievers in the ways of the world. And how do we do that? By being like Jesus. It's not hard. This is not rocket science, guys. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? I always like to say it this way. Jesus is perfect theology. What I mean by that is if you don't know what to do, go see what Jesus did and just do that. You won't fail. Everything Jesus did, he lived perfect theology, right? That's why we always have to start by referencing, what did Jesus do? And you guys remember the WWJD bracelets, right? Do you still have yours? Yeah. Do you still wear it? Okay, all right. Yeah. But you guys remember those bracelets? Remember, like, they became, like, super trendy? But how many of you know that those actually started from, the root of those started from a good place? It was people asking a question. And it was a reminder to live my life in such a way that I asked myself, how would he respond in this situation? What would he do? And in order for us to know that, guess what we have to do? We actually have to study him. You have to read up about him. You can't just guess what you think Jesus would do based on your picture and your version of Jesus in your brain, right? How many of you know, everybody loves the idea of hippie Jesus that just walked around and was nice to everybody all the time, right? But we like to forget Jesus that flipped over the tables in the temple, right? Because that doesn't fit hippie Jesus mold. We've created this picture of who Jesus is. You know, my son asked me the other day, we were driving to school, and he was saying, okay, so why did Jesus do that? Why did Jesus flip open those tables? Why did he, you know, react so violently toward that? And I said, son, is because one thing, righteous anger came upon him because people were being hurt and taken advantage of. Jesus gets mad when people get hurt and are being taken advantage of. You guys okay with this? Like, he flipped, you guys have heard me preach on this before. He didn't just run in there in a rage, he thought about it. The Bible says he fashioned the whip. That means he took his time. You ever made a whip? It takes more than just 3 seconds. He literally probably went off into a corner, got quiet, and was going like this. All the while watching people rob people And he says, you have turned my father's house into a den of thieves. And I believe that that was actually an indictment, not just on the temple then, but the temple now. Don't let me get started on that. There's a whole lot of churches out there that have been turned into a den of thieves. I shall say no more and move on. We forget that we have to study him to be like him. And if it made him angry, it should make us angry. Right? If it drove him to compassion, it should drive us to compassion. Amen? If it drove him to weep, it should drive us to weep. If it drove him to celebrate, we should celebrate. Amen? We have to look at him. And as we begin to be like him, we begin to be the difference. Amen? We have to be willing to make our lives like him. And the Holy Spirit is ready to work where we are willing. Where are you willing to work? The Holy Spirit's willing to work with you. Being different is defined in the areas of thought. You're different in your thoughts. How many of you know God has called us to think differently? Amen? You're different in the area of your speech. Somebody say amen. Right? We're called to speak differently. And guys, I'm going to tell you something right now. That's everybody right away, your religious thought, you just go straight to, okay, I don't say the four-letter words. Right? But speaking differently means where others are speaking death, we speak life. Where others are speaking hopelessness, we speak hope. Come on. When everybody else is moaning and complaining, you know there's a lot of complaining in the world. Maybe you know there is a lot more complaining in the church. That when complaining's happening, we don't join in with the complainers. Right? We're people of praise. Amen? Where others are gossiping, we speak truth and love. You guys okay? It means we speak different. We think different. We speak different. And we act different. Where everybody else does one thing, we do another. You guys okay? The call to be the difference leads to a paradox from Scripture. From the Bible, it seems that we're called to blend in as much as we're called to stand out. Have you guys ever noticed that in Scripture? We're called to blend in as much as we're called to stand out. And that's kind of a weird thing for me to... That was a weird tension for me to understand for a long time, but it's only possible by the balance that is brought about by following the leading of the Holy Spirit. It means we have to allow him to help us read every situation and act in God's timing. Remember, we talked about God's timing last week, right? He'll help us to read the culture around us and have God's the Father's compassion without compromising his values. Now, what I just said was probably far more important than how it landed in your heart. And I want to read it again. He'll help us read the culture around us and have God's compassion without compromising his values. I can have compassion on people who are living in sin without compromising the value of God that God has. You understand, the only reason God is upset with sin is because sin kills the people he loves. That's it. He doesn't hate people. He hates the sin that separates them from him. So much that he sent Jesus to die on a cross. And if God loved that person so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross while they were still sinners. How many of you know that? That's what the Bible says. While we were still enemies of God, Christ died for us. Then that means I can't live apart from them. But I also can't live in such a way that I condone the sin in their life. I have to love them. And I have to be a difference for them. And I can't be a difference if I, come on, you keep adding blue to blue, what do you get? You add red to blue, what do you get? Purple. Something changes. Something shifts. Amen? And there's a part where I have to be able to love the world around me without compromising the heart of the Father. You know that you can't do that without the Holy Spirit. Right? We've turned everything into a culture war. When what we were supposed to do was infiltrate the culture and speak differently and think differently and act differently. Amen? To be different. To move against a flow when everybody else is panicking. You guys okay? We have to be realistic in our quest to make a difference. We need to understand that small things can have a big impact. I want to ask you guys a question. How many of you have ever been camping and had a mosquito in your tent? Right? How many of you know that that can make an impact, can it? Make a significant impact. Right? I'm going to remember when we were on our trip with Nepal with these guys, me and Steve, I think, were sharing a room in this one place, and I was just like really broken down and tired because I was terribly out of shape, and these guys were awesome. And I went to go lay down, and I remember being so tired and so hurt. You remember this, Steve? We had to climb up that stairwell that was like straight up. It was like a ladder. It's like I have no idea where this is going. And it was this little tiny room and somewhere in the Himalayas, and me and Steve were probably literally like 2 inches apart from each other on these beds. And I'm laying there, and I had to go to bed early because aforementioned problems. And I'm laying there, and I look over, and there's a rat like eye to eye to me. That's a problem, guys. It's a little bigger than a mosquito, yeah. So you know what I did? I was so tired, I looked at it and went, I don't care. I went to sleep. It left me alone. But how many of you know, there was a moment there where I was like, what do I do with this? And I felt like it would have been really unmanly for me to yell, Steve! Like, I'm a man. I'm bigger than it is. Dear Lord, please send your Holy Spirit to smite this rat. How many of you know things like that, small things can make a big difference? Right? You ever had a rock in your shoe? Small things can make a big difference. And too often we get unrealistic in our expectation. If I'm going to make a difference, it's got to be a big difference. But the problem is every big difference is built on the backs of small differences. And we want to skip over making the small differences on an everyday basis, and we want to go right to the big thing because the big thing brings us more glory. Right? Everybody wants to be Billy Graham, but nobody wants to do the meetings with 5 people. Billy Graham didn't start with 1 million people. You understand what I'm saying? It starts by making the small differences where we are. By being different where God has planned you. Let's be very honest. Not everybody's going to be Billy Graham. Not everybody's called to do that. Not everybody's called to be a Wilberforce. Not everybody's called to be a Martin Luther King Jr. Not everybody's called to be. You understand? There are people who make a difference. And I'm going to tell you right now, most of the world is not changed by the big names. It's made by the small names who do things in anonymity every day. That make the small differences. Because it's those small differences that add up to the big difference. Amen? Listen, you guys all know the story. I've told it before. Billy Graham became Billy Graham because of a failed crusade. They held a crusade. It was a week-long crusade. They did it every night. They came in, and only one person got saved. It was a 12-year-old boy, and they called it a failure. His name was Billy Graham. But he showed up because a lot of people did a lot of small things nobody saw. You guys get where I'm going with this? Being a difference is not about your name in the headlines. It's not about the big stage. Being a difference is about the small stage. It's about the everyday. It's what can I do? How can I have a different spirit on me and every day live out of that difference so that people can see it and it can make an impact? That's what makes a big difference. See, everybody wants you to think that the only people who are making any impact are the ones with their names in the headlines. That is just so not true. That is so not true. That is a lie from the enemy. Do you know you be a difference by serving your family? You be a difference by serving your church. You be a difference by serving your neighborhood. You be a difference by serving your community where you are. Different, being different doesn't mean weird either. Can I just say that? Too often we equate being different with being weird. I'm going to tell you what, there's been weird people that have kept a lot of people out of church. Right? We're not called to be weird. Amen? We're called to be different. Right? We're also not called to be difficult. Because sometimes we equate being different with being difficult. Right? We're not called to be difficult, but we're called to be different. You guys okay? To be different means that our lifestyles stand out and are in contrast to that of our surroundings. It means that where there's hatred, we bring love. That's a difference. Amen? It means that we stand in contrast to what's going on around us. That means when everybody else is screaming, the sky is falling, we're out there saying, but God is on the throne. It means where there is a lack of provision, that we are generous. Where people are stingy, we're givers. Amen? Where people are unkind, we're kind. Where people are ungraceful, we're graceful. How many of you know that if somebody in a room full of ungracious people shows up with grace about them, they stand out? In a world full of people who are living for themselves and what they can take, how many know that a generous spirit stands out? Amen? That's how you make a difference, by showing up in those moments. I got to move on. We're getting ready to close in just a moment. But here's what has to happen. We have to start in our own communities. We have to start where we are. It starts here. We have to practice what we preach in our own backyards, in our own homes. Amen? We have to walk the talk wherever we go. And God's promise of power to make a difference that we see in Acts 1:8 says this. It says, it has a certain order to it that you need to understand. But you will receive power, somebody say power, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, there's that word, martyrs, to lay your life on the table. And where? Jerusalem? How many of you know they were in Jerusalem? It starts in Jerusalem. Then it says, in all Judea and Samaria. Guys, it's like a circle getting wider. The effect is getting bigger. Starts in Jerusalem, now it's spread to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Amen? How many of you know by making a difference here in Decatur, Texas, we can actually make a difference across the world? Believe it or not. It's like a ripple. How many of you ever, when you were a kid, you used to throw rocks into the water? Right? And you used to see how big of a ripple you could get. How many of you know your life from where you are can be a ripple effect? It can have big reach that you don't even expect it to have. Amen? It starts with taking responsibility for our own communities. Now, it also starts with this. And the last thing I want to get to, Michelle, would you just come so I can wind this down real quick? How many of you know personal encounters matter? Personal encounters matter. How many of you know you encounter people every day, right? You never know the effect a personal encounter can have on somebody. See, a personal encounter with Jesus always brings change. Once you re-encounter Jesus personally for who he really is, we're changed, and it causes us to begin to make a difference around us. And I want to read about this happening when somebody has a contact with Jesus, what it looks like. And it's a few verses. I want to read it. I've got a few minutes here. But we're going to look in John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And I'm going to read this to you guys. It says this: Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." I want to stop, just pause right there. Right off the bat, we're talking about Jesus crossing a line of prejudice. Not only was he speaking to a woman, which in that day, I'm sorry ladies, were considered property. And by the way, if you want to look at what religion treats women the best, look at Christianity. For is there anybody more famous in Scripture outside of Jesus besides Mary? For God worked through a woman to bring the Son of God. Amen? And everywhere Jesus went, he regarded women, and women were a part of his ministry, and women were leaders in his ministry. Right? This lie that tries to tell you that Christianity treats women as less than is such a lie. And Jesus speaks to this woman, and not only is it that class issues he's already talking about, now it's a race issue. He's crossing that line of prejudice. Because it says, for Jews don't have dealings with people of Samaria. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." What he's saying to her is, "I've got something you need." And he's speaking to her need. And he's drawing her in. He's engaging her. And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." He begins to read her mail. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." I think that is one of the funniest lines. Because that's the translated King James way of saying, "What? How did you know? What?" Could you imagine how flabbergasted and dumbfounded she must have been in that moment? She didn't go, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." She knew she was dealing with something supernatural in that moment. She was dealing with something different. Amen? "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor Jerusalem you will worship the Father. You will worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. What he's saying is times are changing. Something new has come. We're not going to do it like we did it before. Amen? The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Imagine that moment. The revelation of the Messiah that had been foretold from the times of the Old Testament thousands of years earlier to a woman sitting by a well who found herself in that moment living in the place of sin. And here is that Messiah offering everything to her. Personal encounters matter. And in that moment, something shifted in her. Because there was something different in front of her. You guys okay? Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to people, come see the man who told me all I ever did. Isn't that awesome? How many of you know Jesus probably said a whole lot more than what we see in Scripture here? Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, teacher, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? These guys just never got the message. Like, these dudes just always miss the point. You know what I mean? By the way, that gives you and I hope, because these guys who always miss the point spread all over the world and declared the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you're a little slow on the uptake, don't worry, you're in good company. Amen? Jesus said to him, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes. This is important, guys. And see that the fields are white for harvest. I believe that they could begin to see the people coming from the town already. And what he was saying was get your eyes off what you think and look up. Look who's around you. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Because she didn't hide her shame and she laid her cards on the table and said, this is what he told me I did. He told me all I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Amen? A few practical things from this. In order for us to make a difference, we got to go beyond class and racial and every other prejudice. Second, we got to keep our actions practical. See, this story started with asking for water, and it turned into a spiritual conversation. We have to start with the practical and then progress to the spiritual. Amen? Do not give place to religious or judgmental attitudes. Although that woman was not living right, Jesus did not condemn her or judge her, but focused on her heart and her desire for God. This whole message was to get to those 3 points. To make a difference, you got to get over yourself. To make a difference, you have to see people. To make a difference, you've got to be different, think different, act different. And if we will lay our life down in such a way You can't help but change the atmosphere around you. You can't help but to see generations saved and changed. You can't help. And here's the thing. It's not even really about trying at that point. It's just about being. Amen? See, Jesus was just being who he was. And a village was saved. I'm going to tell you right now, those villagers probably had a meeting and said, who's the one who's going to go meet the Messiah? I guarantee it wasn't going to be that woman. She wasn't going to get picked. But I'm so glad Jesus found her. Amen? Because her heart was ready. Her heart was receptive. And because of that one personal encounter with that brave woman, a people were saved. And now God says, I'm choosing to use you, my church, to be Jesus with skin on, to be the difference, to do it the way I did it, to continue my work with the partnership of the Holy Spirit in the earth, to live your life in such a way that a difference is made. Big differences are built on the backs of small moments. Last thing I want to say, and then I'm going to pray. And you'll forgive me for going over time. See, you may think what you're doing right now is very small, but I want to tell you something. One small change, one incremental shift can change the trajectory of somebody's life like you wouldn't believe. If anybody ever in here has ever hit a golf ball, if you just move 1 inch to the left or to the right, it's not really a big difference where you're standing. But as that ball flies through the air, that difference becomes wider and wider and wider and bigger and bigger and bigger to the point where by the time it gets to where it lands, it's probably 50 yards difference from a 1 inch shift. One act of difference making in a person's life can make one small incremental shift that can put their life on a new trajectory that is so vastly different from the end outcome that you ever expected. Amen? One encounter, one moment. And God is looking at us as his church with all of our faults, with all of our failures, with every way that we've messed up, and he's asking us, will you be the difference in Wise County? Will you rise to the challenge? Will you get over the pettiness of the past? Will you get over your idea of how you think things should be done? Will you let go of your religious ideas and your prejudices? And will you reach out? And will you live and will you breathe within the culture but yet hold true to my standard? And be different. If you'll do that, every church in this town will be filled. Because this isn't about just filling this church. This is about filling them all. Amen? You guys okay? Let's stand to our feet.